Domingo Santana, ooh, I wanna have ya. Tanaka's Fakata, Jag like Michael Walker, Polanco and Franco.
Ooh, they're gonna have you get it to first place. Check batted ball data and swing it strike rates. Raisins are shriveled grapes. Here's Adam's happy place.
Hey, what's up? Happy Friday, everybody. Happy Kokomo Friday. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball today. Pretty excited for today's show. Try to read your emails later at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We even got a Delino DeShields email. You know I was like talking about Delino DeShields. But Dallas Keuchel is in Atlanta. How you feeling, Scott? Why aren't you wearing your Braves shirt? They just got Dallas Keuchel. Got a former Cy Young Award winner for nothing.
Yeah, they did. Last time they signed a former Cy Young winner, it was R.A. Dickey. And Bartolo Colon also the same offseason. That went swimmingly. But yeah, no, this is exciting. This is exciting. Sure, this is probably their second best pitcher, third best, depending on how you feel about Fulton Evich.
Who's out? So, who's out of the rotation?
Probably. I mean, they don't have to decide today.
That's true.
Assuming Keuchel passes his physical, he'll go to AAA Gwinnett to start Saturday. And I assume they'll assess his readiness from there. But I'm expecting it'll be a few weeks till we actually see him.
Yeah, I was trying to rank the Braves pitchers now. I moved Keuchel up, I think, to number 60 in my starting pitcher rankings. I would definitely have Soroka and still Max Fried ahead of him. I think he'd be third for me, then Folty, then Teron, then Gausman.
Okay.
Gausman's probably going to be the one out unless he turns things around. And judging by his peripherals, he could... You know, it could suddenly click for him, and he has a couple great starts, and then I guess maybe they have a dilemma on their hands. But Keuchel will definitely not be the odd man out. Once he's ready to go, he'll be ready to go. And, you know, Heath said he moved him up to 60th now. That's about where I moved him to. When he's back, though, I'm not sure he's going to be much higher than 50 for me, just because there are enough more exciting options. Like, Keuchel is not an exciting option anymore. He's a stable option, but he's not an exciting one. Top 50 would still mean must own, obviously, but it wouldn't, you know, probably not going to be your ace in the hole.
I think Marcus Stroman's right between 40 and 50, and that's kind of what I would expect from Keuchel if he's good. I think the expectation should probably be for a pitcher that hasn't thrown yet this year that he's going to be bad when he starts.
Well, he needs to be better than he was last year. I think the Stroman comparison's pretty good because last year it was high 3 ZRA, low strikeout rate, and unfortunately a high whip, 131 whip. So,
yeah.
Yeah,
I think the upside is higher than Stroman, but it's most likely expectations are probably something similar, yeah.
Yeah, Heath, I was going to welcome you to the show by saying something about the Royals. I couldn't think of anything, so I just did a news search for Royals. Look at these horrible words. Stranded runners and doomed seventh cost Royals. Royals skid hits six games. Royals blanked at home by Reds. It's very gloomy
stuff.
This
season is going exactly the way every Royals fan should want it to. They found a couple of future stars, and they're losing all the games, so they get a number one pick, and they got Bobby Witt. I can't imagine things going any better.
You look at the way he spun that, Adam. You can't troll the master troll. You tried.
No, I wasn't. Maybe I was a little. Okay, so we're going to do a two-start pitchers, weekend streamers. I have to apologize, sincere apology for something that I did, just an awful thing I did on the show yesterday. But first, who would you rather have? Dallas Keuchel, who's 86% owned, or Colorado starting pitcher Peter Lambert, who's 12% owned?
Yeah, I'm not feeling Peter Lambert, so definitely go Keuchel there. Although Peter Lambert is a two-star pitcher this week, or at least next week is lined up to be anyway.
Yeah, he was very good in his first start, but looking at those minor league numbers and ratios, no, thank you.
Yeah, it's
not
crazy.
A good strikeout pitcher down there. ERA over 5 at AAA. He is genuinely. It was their number 3 prospect according to Baseball America coming into the year, but that you read the actual scouting report. And it sounds a lot like Kyle Freeland, where Peter Lambert is, you know, like got 4 pitches and he knows how to use them, but his upside's like a 3 or 4 starter. And so it's like, well, why is there number 3 prospect? I don't get it. But Yeah, one thing that did stand out to me in this start, other than the fact, you know, the numbers were good. Average exit velocity on batted balls, 94.5 miles per hour, which would be, if it was a season mark, the third highest among all pitchers. So they were making some pretty good contact off them.
Interesting. All right, so Lambert went seven innings. He did strike out nine Cubs, four hits, one run, one walk. Very surprising. And he does have two starts next week, but they're both going to be at Coors Field against the Cubs and the Padres, who have apparently their leadoff hitter back. Fernando Tatis led off yesterday. Who would you rather have, Trevor Bauer or Kyle Hendricks? Bauer or Hendricks?
I'll still take Trevor Bauer for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of interesting quotes after last night's game, but I'll read them in a second. Go ahead and talk about Trevor Bauer, who gave up five runs. He just pitched against Max Kepler. Everybody else he did well against, but Kepler homered off him three times and drove
He's
him
Trevor
four.
Bauer again. Yeah. He's no longer Cy Bauer. He's Trevor Bauer again.
No, I don't really know, Heath. It's a bad narrative.
Yeah, because I think it underestimates just how bad Trevor Bauer used to be, because this would still be his second best ERA ever, what he has right now.
But this is by far all of his worst peripherals.
No, look at his whip. His whip is only 1.16. That's a good, he actually has a good whip.
XFIP and Sierra are all much worse than they were when he was allegedly.
The walk rate is on the high side, and the home runs have been on the high side. I think both of those are correctable. The point is, the stuff is there. The swinging strike rate, which spiked last year, is still the same as last year. And he did, one of the comments he did mention, Adam, I'll go ahead and put this out there, is that he's banged up.
Yes.
And he's trying to pitch through it. So I don't know what to make of that.
I know what to make of that.
You know, the numbers have worked recently.
Francona. What the hell is the matter with Terry Francona? Like, he pitches. Trevor Bauer is averaging like 113 pitches per game. And there are so many games where you could easily just take him out after like five innings where he's struggling, including yesterday. And he got hit by a comebacker on the foot yesterday. And Terry Francona.
This was just such a perfect time to use the fooled you sound drop for Trevor Bauer. He fooled you last year. You thought he was a legitimate ace.
Okay, no, so listen.
He's not that bad.
He hasn't
even been that bad. I mean, sub 4 ERA, low whip.
The whip, it's weird that he has a low whip considering his walk rate is way up. And he's giving up a lot of
home runs. Well, it
probably
helps that he has a 239 BABIP against. That's the only reason he has a sub 4 ERA. He's been very lucky.
Well, what was his BABIP against last year? I imagine
297, 60 points higher.
I don't think he's pitched that well. I mean, let's be, because he's also
he's
given up a lot of unearned runs too, and that doesn't show up in the ERA, but he's struggling.
He hasn't been great recently, but his season long numbers are actually like, he's on pace for more than 220 innings, on pace for more than 260 strikeouts.
Yeah,
I guess it's a little bit Chris Archer. What's your definition of good is, but those are numbers that would never be leaving my lineup.
Yeah, I don't think he would probably be on pace for 220 innings if hitters had a normal BABIP against him.
Well, okay, but Heath, to call you out here, if you're calling on Trevor Bauer, then how are you not taking Kyle Hendricks ahead of him? Like, obviously you don't believe that this is the Trevor Bauer of the past, because the Trevor Bauer of the past is not a rosterable player.
I don't know that he wasn't a rosterable player.
Well, he ain't fringy. Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah. Kyle Hendricks was a fringy player last year.
If you think Trevor Bauer is the old Trevor Bauer, then you need to plummet him in your rankings.
I have dropped him in my rankings.
Keep going. Because you don't. See, that's the thing. I know you don't believe that he's the old.
I'm struggling. Like, somebody tweeted at me earlier this week and said they traded Bauer for Bieber, and they got crushed in the comments, obviously, because Bauer was much more highly rated. I am now struggling with Bauer versus Bieber in my rank.
That's a reasonable struggle. I don't think Bauer versus Hendry.
But
Bauer versus Bieber, yeah. I mean, I think if Bauer just maintains the pace he's on, that's a little worse than Bieber. But I do think Bauer has a better chance of,
and the guy he pitched against last night, Bauer versus Brees.
I mean, look what happened with Chris Sale. When he started expressing the most frustration vocally, like, how quickly he turned it around after that and just started had a streak of like a dozen starts every time out. Like I could see Bauer doing that.
We do have a decade of Chris Sale being an ace though, and three quarters of 1 year of Trevor Bauer being an ace.
But like I said, a lot of the underlying numbers for Bauer, mainly the dominant numbers, still look really good.
We have a year and a half of Trevor Bauer being an ace. A year and a half when he changed his arsenal and became an ace. I just got to say, like, I own Trevor Bauer in a couple leagues, and it hasn't been it's been bad. You have been really angry, disappointed at what he's been giving you lately, even though the innings and the strikeouts are there. And I honestly wish the innings weren't there, because I am worried that Terry Francona is going to ruin him. So here are some of the things that Trevor Bauer said. I executed really well all night. It just seems like anything that can go wrong will go wrong for me right now. I get gun-shy every time a ball goes in the air because it seems like everything gets hit in the air is a homer. That's one thing. Second quote, I feel like I need to strike more people out, but I can't get swing and miss when I throw pitches in locations that should create swing and miss. It's been frustrating for sure. Third quote, right now I'm just trying to feel good for my next start physically. My body is pretty banged up. That's really where my focus has been, to get ready physically. I've executed really well my last three starts, and I've lost three of them. Mm-hmm. All right, so I guess it seems to me like you guys are in the Bieber range with Trevor Bauer, which is still a top 20 pitcher, but not top 10 right now.
I've dropped into 19th.
Okay. All right. I still think that, you know, if you don't really love your team and you want to take a swing for the fences, I'm not sure anybody would be surprised if Bauer is a top 5 pitcher going forward. I mean, I don't think it's the most likely outcome, but the skills are still there. It's not like he's not throwing hard or something like that. It's not like he's not getting the whiffs, as Scott mentioned.
Sure.
There's some encouragement.
I don't mind buying low on him.
All right. Time for me to apologize. So, so sorry. Yeah. Scott, you know what this is, right? I cut Scott off.
Yeah, I know what it
is. I cut off the Butchery impression yesterday. I felt it was going a little long. I was wrong.
But it was none too kind. By the way, it wasn't even that long. I looked at the counter afterward. I went back and watched it.
How long was it?
Like, it's not like I went on for 5 minutes or...
It had to be close to 2 minutes.
I thought it was getting a little long, but
Well, I apologize to all the people who told me.
As much nerve as it takes me to do that, Adam, because I'm terrified every time I do it.
Really?
Like, you're very good.
You cut me off like that, I never want to do it.
I'm so sorry.
You've lost it. It's gone.
I once knew a man named Kane, first name Lorenzo, only spelled differently. That's the one. That's differently is good. All right. So that's my apology. Who's your who are a couple of your favorite two-star pitchers for next week that are owned in 70% of leagues or less?
I like a couple. The best one we mentioned yesterday, Spencer Turnbull. The matchups are great. I think it's Cleveland and Toronto. That's a pretty obvious one. But then beyond that, the kids, they're both owned in less than 25% of the league. And I'm talking about John Duplantier.
Okay.
And Cal Quantrill, who I don't think shows up on the CBS list. I don't think they're ready to commit the fact that he has another turn, but he most definitely has one, and I think he'll have two. The second of them is at Colorado, but the first of them is a really good matchup, so I don't have too many issues starting him, certainly not in points leagues. They're both widely, widely available and coming off two encouraging starts, each of them.
I've never felt worse that I can recall about the two-start pitcher list.
You're lying. It's not that bad. What's wrong with you?
Okay, let's forget about the kids for just a second, because I have concerns about Cal Quantrill. Mostly because, like, he's made 5 starts in the major leagues and has a 4.85 ERA, and he was mostly not good in the minors.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Heath. I'm a little uneasy, Scott, especially if one of those is at Colorado. At San Francisco Colorado.
San Francisco is the other one, and, like, he was good in every way his last two starts. And we're talking former first-round pick, top prospect pedigree, guy whose pedigree, like, prospect ranking didn't really suffer because he wasn't pitching well, which... it's always interesting,
Scott. I'm gonna kill you if you start him in our scam league.
Oh, that's a categories league. which
But forgetting those guys for just a moment, because I think you could reasonably argue about whether those are good pitchers, and we don't know who's going to be right yet. Looking at the guys that I considered for to start, you've got Jared Eichhoff, Spencer Turnbull, John Means, Mike Leake, and the peripheral I generally use to decide how well I think a pitcher is going to pitch in the future is Sierra. 4.45, 4.41, 4.53, 4.68. They are all have all been below average. Only Leake has averaged better than 5.5 innings per start. Like, these are, by the way we generally measure pitchers, they've all been bad. And Eichhoff has been the best of the group so far, but doesn't have very good matchups. So
listed bad pitchers there. I agree.
What's that?
Listed bad pitchers.
I think you missed my two favorite, other than probably.
Well, that's what I said. That's Turnbull. What I was going to say is I'm just going to lean on Adam Azer and go with a guy that I know he's going to like for my favorite two-start pitcher. He's pitched well in his last two starts. He gets a matchup against the White Sox. I'll take Anibal.
Yeah, I like Anibal Sanchez. The other matchup's against Arizona, and I have to look, but I think Arizona, like, I know they're not winning a lot of games. I think they're starting to struggle a little bit. Now, they got David Peralta back. That helps. But I don't think Arizona's that tough of a matchup anymore. So I like Anibal Sanchez at 33%. And I like Dakota Hudson, who's getting a ton of ground balls. He's not going to strike a lot of guys out. So it's probably a points league thing because the whip is pretty high. But Dakota Hudson, his last seven starts, he has a 280 ERA. And he gets at Miami and at the Mets. And he's RP eligible. So, you know, the thing is, a lot of times I feel like we've had pitchers that I'm kind of interested in that have bad matchups. This week it seems like we have pitchers that I don't really love so much, but they have really good matchups. So
I just know that pretty much every time, because I've generally for the two start pitchers just looked at the matchups and chosen some below average pitchers, and they've gotten killed this year. It's been a bad season for bad pitchers against bad offense.
Well, that's the line between a worthwhile two-start pitcher and one who's not is like, it's a very sharp line. You do not go below that line. It's a literal line when I rank the two-start pitchers, and just don't do it because
right.
It
I'm just not sure any of these guys should be above that line.
What about Turnbull? You don't feel that way about Turnbull, Heath?
I've not been as encouraged as Scott has. I mean, he's okay, and I think he has potential. But again. So far, he has been bad, definitively.
Let me bring up the point you were making about Sierra, because it's something I've noticed this year, and it's worth bringing up. You're kind of using four as the mark of whether or not it's
a good
pitcher.
I'm okay with 4.2.
Okay. I was going to say that among the 85 qualifying pitchers this year, the number with a Sierra below 3.75 is 18. So, you know, it's hard to have a good Sierra in this environment.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'll look right now. I would guess league average is about 4.2. And I'm okay with starting an average pitcher against in a two-star week.
Spencer Turnbull,
that's about
by the way,
midpoint of the top 85. Yeah.
Spencer Turnbull's had a good year. I mean, he's got a 3.01 ERA, just under a strikeout per inning. He's got a 1.28 whip. He hasn't been as good lately, for sure, but he hasn't really been like terrible. And his
average is actually
up
to 4.3 now.
His matchups,
so
are Kansas
maybe
City,
4.4 is only slightly worse than the average. But
all right, favorite week, but like, I don't care. You're talking about Spencer Turnbull Sierra
or XFIP.
Well, what about his ERA? What about what he's actually done?
I understand. I'm not. I don't get any credit for what he's actually done. What I'm telling you is,
but he hasn't been bad. You can't say he's been bad.
Sierra and XFIP are more predictive of what they're going to do going forward than ERA is.
All right, that's fine. Like, I will. This is a non-fantasy discussion then. Like, you cannot say that Spencer
Turnbull has been bad. No, it's not a non-fantasy discussion. What they are going to do moving forward is what their fantasy value is.
Fine. Like, I understand that if you want to guess going forward, that if you want to use the peripherals of the Sierra, like, that's great. But don't say Spencer Turnbull's been bad because his Sierra is high when his ERA is a run lower, or even more than a run lower.
Okay. He's done well this year. Allowed very many runs. That's
correct. Which is the point of pitching. So he's done well. Give the best. All right, any weekend streamers? I don't love the weekend streamers, by the way. I do think that if Andrew Heaney is available, you need to get him. He's 79% owned. He's the best one. He's the most owned. I think maybe Framber Valdez against Baltimore could work. He's 15% owned. Nick Pivetta against Cincinnati. CeCe Sabathia at Cleveland could work. Jose Urania maybe against Atlanta. That one scares me a little bit. I like Zach Plesac, but I'm sitting him against the Yankees. Tyler Mahle at Philadelphia is kind of iffy for me, guys. What do you think?
I'd rather not.
Yeah. Pablo Lopez.
Pavetta sounded fine to me. Sabathia sounded fine.
Right.
Not great. Yeah, I'm not really expecting Framber Valdez to give you enough innings to be worth it against the Orioles.
Sure. What about Urania or Pablo Lopez against the Braves?
Be more likely to do Lopez than Urania, I think, but neither one strikes me as a great choice.
Okay. Yeah, and I think Framber's thrown three or four innings in his last couple of outings, right? I think he could get to five, and
he could probably get to five. Yeah,
yeah. I think a win, but I think I'd rather do Framber than Urania.
Cool. All right, we got news and notes. Most added list. A lot of stuff from yesterday. Max Kepler homer three times. Haven't really talked about that. Patrick Corbin's been struggling a bit. Mike Foltynewicz. Scott told you he was a buy low. He had the same problem last night. See if Scott still feels that way. If he does, now's not a bad time to make an offer on Mike Foltynewicz. And I'll try to read some emails.
It was a quality start, Adam.
Yeah, it was. It was not great, though. But wasn't bad. Certainly wasn't bad for Foltynewicz. I don't know how fantasy owners feel about it. Probably kind of meh. So we'll come right back after this break and talk about some big news to know about right after this.
Everybody knows it. Toyota trucks are the stuff of legends. Rugged, durable, everlasting. Toyota makes trucks that just don't quit. And now, Toyota is driving that legacy toward the future with two of their most powerful trucks ever, the new Tundra and the all-new Tacoma.
In a half-ton Tundra, you can rule the roads from the comfort of a spacious cabin with connected tech and plenty of hauling power. The Tundra is ready to work hard and play even harder.
Or check out the all-new 24 Tacoma, redesigned and electrified to maximize your adventure. With a bevy of available off-road driving and power transfer modes, you will effortlessly crush the conditions. And with the Tacoma's reimagined interior, you'll do it in style.
And right now, your local Toyota dealer has more vehicles in stock and is making delivery on new vehicles almost every day.
So don't wait. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more.
Toyota, let's go places.
Your news and notes today. Craig Kimbrel could be ready in about 3 weeks. Jose Leclerc is about to regain his closer's role, it seems. And Wade Davis will be back very soon. And J.D. Martinez left with back spasms. I believe he had that issue last week as well. We'll keep an eye on J.D. Martinez. Mitch Haniger left after fouling a ball off somewhere in his mid to lower body. Shinsu Chu's day-to-day. Didi Gregorius is coming back today. Gleyber Torres might sit. He sat yesterday with a sore shoulder. He might sit again. But as Scott mentioned, Didi's going to sit once a series, at least at the outset. We don't know how long that'll last. Fernando Tatis is back. Matt Carpenter left with an injury. Doesn't seem serious. Dwight Smith Jr. is in the concussion protocol. Willie Calhoun expected to begin a rehab assignment next week. Charlie Blackmon should be back today. Will Smith was sent to AAA. So much for Wally Pitt. And then just so you know, Brandon Belt is 32% owned. He homered off Zach Wheeler yesterday. He came into yesterday's game, Brandon Belt, with a .524 slugging percentage, a .380 on base percentage. So that's a .904 OPS against righties. It's probably even better now. He had an .822 OPS against righties last season. I feel like that could be helpful for some of you out there. Brandon Belt is really good against righties. Some other lineup notes and tidbits for you. DJ LeMahieu leads baseball with a .491 batting average with runners in scoring position. Thank you, Associated Press. I feel like DJ LeMahieu's a sell-high candidate. What do you guys think?
I didn't think it was going to go as well for him in New York as it has. I thought his success was largely a product of Coors Field, but it turns out he's such a good line drive hitter that I think he profiles as a high BABIP guy anywhere. So I don't really see him as a sell-high candidate.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what you could sell him for, I guess would be my problem. I guess the one we always use, I would certainly trade him for Jose Ramirez.
Okay. Chris Davis is batting 247 right now. That would be the fifth straight season. And he only has 12 home runs, so he needs to get that going. Daniel Murphy and Ryan McMahon sat against the lefty yesterday.
Interesting weekend for Murphy because he got really hot. He sat yesterday. Now he's going to face the Mets, and he faces DeGrom, Syndergaard, and a lefty.
Well, he'll start two of the games for sure.
He'll start two of the games. I don't know if he'll get any hits.
Dylan Moore has started seven games at shortstop for Seattle. He has two steals in his last four games. Should be cautious, though, because J.P. Crawford will probably reclaim that job soon. And Mookie Betts is 7-for-11 with five home runs against Danny Duffy. Hashtag BVP, batter versus pitcher. Those stats never lie, especially in these sample sizes. But that, wow, 7-for-11 with five home runs against Danny Duffy. That's amazing. All right,
Are you trying to troll the master troll?
Now
again?
I'm trolling Heath. Yes, BVP.
Yeah, okay.
Not the Royals thing.
Very subtle.
But BVP.
Yeah.
Okay, Thursday standout. Somebody talk about Max Kepler. He is the number 14 outfielder in points, number 12 in Roto. Before yesterday, he was 18th in both formats, but he scored 21 fantasy points yesterday. Talk about Max Kepler.
I really thought that we were done with the Max Kepler thing. Like, I had just adjusted to the point to where I'd move Kepler up into starting range at outfield, and then he went on an ice-cold 0-for-21 streak, and I thought, okay, he's actually not that good. But this will make you reconsider that. I think he's a starter, but maybe not one you'll be excited about rest of year.
I love the
Padres stats. So it's his fly ball rate, he upped it significantly last year. This year it's about the same as that. So why it's been twice as effective this year, he's on pace for 40 home runs after setting a career high with 20 last year. Why it's been twice as effective this year is hard to figure out. But I will point out that his ex-WOBA this year is only 15 points higher than it was last year, which makes me think he's probably performing a little over his head. That said, his actual WOBA, 345 versus the ex-WOBA, 337, suggests, you know, maybe it was more, I don't know, it's weird. Like, I don't know.
Maybe it was a bad luck last year, you're saying?
Because that's not even true. It was only 5 points difference between the ex-WOBA and WOBA last year. I just, you know, obviously there are other things than home runs that go into a WOBA.
Yeah.
He's probably performing a little over his head, but he probably did underachieve a little last year too. And the true Max Kepler, probably going to be, you know, like a top 40 outfielder, maybe top 30.
Well,
yeah, I mean, there are some, like, his barrel rate is up a couple of points and his exit velocity is more than a mile per hour. His average exit velocity is higher, so he's hitting the ball harder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Kepler's also leading off for the Twins, and they're the best lineup in baseball, and he has 80 runs / RBIs. Now, actually, the RBIs really surprised me. As a leadoff hitter to have 40 RBIs, that's very impressive, but they have a deep lineup, and he's benefiting from that. Okay, Taylor Rogers got a save yesterday, a two-inning save. If there's one reliever that you'd want to own in Minnesota, is it Taylor Rogers?
Yeah, Blake Parker's been awful. His peripherals are much worse. Rogers has two saves in a row. Hopefully he's going to settle in here.
I feel like they will acquire someone at some point. But we got like
Yeah, I mean, they were
months.
In the Kimbrel mix, supposedly.
Yeah, right. We got 2 months before the trade deadline, but Rogers is 26% owned. Somebody talk about Robinson Chirinos. He's the number 5 catcher in points, number 6 in Roto. His last four games, he is 5-for-15 with 4 home runs and 5 walks, including 4 yesterday. But Chirinos has legit power, and it's showing this year. He has 10 home runs already in 48 games.
Yeah, when we talk about impact catchers, I feel like we leave him out because he is definitely among the group that you never pay a thought to sitting. And that's pretty much all there is to that.
Yeah, I think he's right there with Narvaez, like in that just outside the top 5 group. But like Scott said, you just don't even have to think about him. He's in your lineup, and you hope he doesn't get hurt.
Would you rather have Chirinos or Garver?
Chirinos.
I think Chirinos is safer. Yeah, I'll say Chirinos.
Any other Thursday standouts we need to talk about? Okay. I got
probably
more. Yeah, I got more. All right, let's go to more struggling starters. Trevor Bauer is not the only one. Patrick Corbin's been a little rough lately. Three of his last four starts have been bad. The other was a complete game shutout against the Marlins. But Corbin's been struggling lately. Caleb Smith has been struggling lately. It's eight straight starts allowing a homer and five straight starts of 5 1/3 or fewer for Caleb Smith. And Mike Foltynewicz gave up two home runs. That's been the problem. But six innings, six hits, three runs, a walk, five strikeouts, and two home runs at Pittsburgh. So who concerns you the most, Corbin, Caleb Smith, or Mike Foltynewicz?
Well, this is coming from a standpoint where Corbin and Smith are far ahead of Foltynewicz to begin with. I would say Smith concerns me the most because he already has a hard enough time winning games with the Marlins lineup backing him. If he's not allowed to go six innings, then that's going to be an issue. And I think it is more of a what he's allowed to do situation than what he's deserved to have done, because the pitch counts have been on the lower side for this five-start stretch with less than six innings. And three of those starts have been just fine in terms of production. Obviously just limited over the small number of innings. This start yesterday wasn't so great, and his velocity was down. Not sure what to make of that. Could just be a one-off thing, but that's another reason for concern. Corbin, it sounds like, is dealing with a bit of a mechanical issue, but he was kind of falling off with his delivery, and so he wasn't able to locate his fastball yesterday, and they were just taking the slider. That's obviously so effective for him. But it sounds like they have a good read on that. I think he's probably going to figure that out sooner than later. And I still think Foltynewicz is trending up. It's trending up. It was a quality start in which he allowed just one more base runner than he had innings pitched. 15 swinging strikes after a start with 18 swinging strikes. For a guy who one of the biggest concerns about him coming into the year before he got injured is how did he get so many strikeouts with such a low swinging strike rate? If he was getting this kind of the kind of swinging strikes last year that he's gotten over his past two starts, I don't think anybody would have been terribly concerned about him coming into the year. So I think he's on the right track, and I would still consider him a buy low. You know, the fact he has a 1-5 record could probably help you with that.
Well, the fact that he has a 6 ERA.
Yeah, but his last three starts, two of them have been good, and the other one was 18 swinging strike. So
yeah, I have no idea, really. I was very... skeptical of Foltynewicz coming into the year, as I always am with guys that have been bad for 4 or 5 years and then are really good for one. I don't think we know yet. I don't think there's really hardly any chance at all he's as good as he was last year. Could he be a mid-3 ERA guy? I think that's still within the range of possibilities, but I'd probably expect him to be more the mid-4s guy.
Going back to Caleb Smith, rank 3 breakouts: Lucas Giolito, Matt Boyd, Caleb Smith.
Boyd Giolito Smith.
Okay. We got other podcasts that you should be listening to, like Off the Bench. Actually, it's called Cannell and Bell now, with Danny Cannell and Roger Bell. It's an excellent podcast. It's daily, kind of a general sports show. We have, of course, the niche shows like fantasy baseball, fantasy football. We have an NFL podcast called Pick Six. We have an MMA, boxing, and wrestling podcast called State of Combat. We have a golf podcast, 3 times a week, a golf podcast called The First Cut. Please listen to it. Go to cbssports.com/podcast or podcasts. Either one will get you there. And check out all of our shows. Check out the World Series of Poker on CBS All Access. Starting now until July 16th, you can be watching live streams of the final tables of 33 of the World Series of Poker bracelet events. That includes 25 events you cannot watch anywhere else. Big time stuff here. Go to cbs.com/poker. Or download the CBS app on your phone or your streaming device. You can get a free trial. So start watching today. Again, you want to go to cbs.com/poker or get the CBS app for CBS All Access. When we come back, we're looking at the most added players in CBS sports leagues. And I'm going to tell you the guy who's like 5% owned that I added yesterday that I'm pretty excited about. That's coming up right after this.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, everybody. So I already apologized for cutting Scott off. Now I have to apologize again. When an emailer writes an email and says, I've written 12 emails and never had one read on the show, now I feel bad. So, first of all, now you all know how to lie your way to getting on the show. But if you're
I was going to say, don't yeah. encourage
yeah,
this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What you should apologize for is telling people that he said that and then catering to his whining.
Well,
write better emails. We'll read them.
It's a good email. It's just a quick grade to trade. It's from Nate in Pittsburgh. We're just going to grade this for Nate because he's 0-12 getting his show question read on the air. Now he's 1-12. 10-team points league, grade the trade. Give Luis Castillo and Austin Meadows. Get Max Scherzer in a 10-team points league.
A-.
That's a lot to give up. The fact that it's a shallower league makes it even more, makes it an even higher priority. You get the best player, which you did. But you paid handsomely. I'll go B-.
Can we talk about the emotional side of this trade? Like how, I assume Nate from Pittsburgh is a Pirates fan. How hard would it be to trade Austin Meadows in fantasy after watching the Pirates trade him and Tyler Glasnow away?
Ugh. It might be easy.
Yeah.
It might be easy. Every time you look at your scoreboard page, you don't have that pained feeling of, oh, what did we give up?
Every time you see Austin Meadows on SportsCenter, you think, man, he's not helping my Pirates, and now he's not helping my fantasy team.
Heath, what SportsCenter?
Yeah, HQ, you mean.
Whatever.
Also, at least he didn't trade him for Chris Archer. That would have been a bad trade. All right, let's look at the most added list now, ladies and gentlemen. Chase Anderson is number one on the most added list. He's in the middle of a two-start week, and it didn't go well. Four innings, four runs against the mighty Marlins. His next start will be against Pittsburgh, and then you can probably drop Chase Anderson. Am I looking at the wrong list here? Okay, we have Jay Bruce 1. I had Jay Bruce 2. They're tied. Jay Bruce and Chase Anderson are tied with 28% ownership spike. So, yeah, I actually think that Jay Bruce at 61% feels okay to me, guys. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm very interested in seeing what he does in a smaller park. His home away splits with Seattle, which isn't a great place to hit, were so extreme that, you know, maybe a lot of his fly balls were that weren't carrying over the fence there would carry over in Philadelphia. It's unclear if he's going to play much against left-handed pitchers. This upcoming week, they only face one of those, so he's among my top 10 sleeper hitters, and could have a resurgence here with the Philly.
Okay, Jay Bruce. Devin Smeltzer and Zach Plesac, 47 and 34% owned. Plesac over Smeltzer, right?
Yeah, Devin Smeltzer should not be owned in more leagues than Zach Plesac. You should reverse those and then add some to Plesac.
Renato Nunez has had a bad week. Do you still want to be patient with him? Renato Nunez, he's 62%.
I think the time to use him is when the Orioles are facing a bunch of lefties, because his numbers against lefties are terrific. Against righties, not so much. And
didn't they face a bunch of lefties this week?
Yeah, I'm going to guess they're still terrific against lefties, though. But it hasn't gone so well. I mean, there's still the weekend, and he could obviously rebound. But hasn't gone so well so far.
Brian Reynolds, Dakota Hudson, David Fletcher. David Fletcher letting me down this week.
I think Jorge Alfaro should be closer to 100% owned. He's a top 12 catcher.
It's true, yeah. Garrett Cooper, 19% owned. Chris talked about him, some interesting changes Garrett Cooper's making. He's not terrible. Alex Reyes is 62% owned. I mean, that has a chance. We go farther down on the list here. Alex Reyes, that has a chance to be a boon for your fantasy team, right?
Yeah, he might. They have an opening on Monday, and I haven't seen how the starts line up, but there's no probable pitcher set. He could be a two-star pitcher next week. Not that you'd want to use him.
He was bad last time out, huh? I didn't realize that. Reyes got rocked last time out at AAA, but still, we know there's a ton of potential there. We have Anibal Sanchez,
yeah,
Nick Pivetta. I'm sorry.
Just potential.
All right, so Alex Reyes, Anibal Sanchez, Nick Pivetta, Framber Valdez, all on the most added list. Who are the top two in that group? Reyes, Anibal Sanchez, Nick Pivetta, Framber Valdez.
I would go Pivetta 1, Reyes 2, And I think those are the only two I care about.
Yeah, I think I go Pivetta and Framber.
Okay. All right, cool. So let's do some buy or sell. Oh, the guy I wanted to talk about, that Dominic Smith. He's 6% owned. He's batting .373, .468, .612 in 67 at-bats. It's not much from Dominic Smith. But remember, what did he have, corrective eye surgery or something like that? He had something hindering him. Dominic
Sleep Smith. Apnea.
Sleep apnea. Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which would mess up your eyes, I guess, right? But if you're not getting enough sleep, so Dominic Smith, he's got that fixed. Again, I don't know where they're going to play him. If everybody's back and healthy, Cano and McNeil and Todd Frazier's hitting well and all that, but
everybody is back and healthy.
Not really, because Cano was out.
He was out of the lineup, but he's back off the IL.
He is back off the IL, so I don't know what happens. Because did Jeff McNeil play second base? I'm guessing he did.
Jeff McNeil was out of the lineup yesterday, and Cano, I guess, was too.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean they need to get Frazier out of there. The main thing. And we'll see if they do.
Dominic Smith missed a few games with a minor injury, but he has been batting second. He's been doing very well for them. He does sit against lefties, and they face a lot of them. So, look, it's a deep league thing. But I don't know. I just feel like I'm in a five outfielder league with a corner infield spot. I picked up Smith. If he's got a lot of righties on the schedule, I might roll with him. And he's only 6% on. Okay. Buy or sell. Michael Brantley should not be among your top 12 outfielders.
So,
that's kind of reverse wording thing here.
Michael
think
Brantley
about this.
Outs should be
should not be among your top 12. I sell that, but it's borderline.
Okay, he is top 12 so far, but the power has gone away. He has one home run in his last 28 days. So there's that. Buy or sell?
Like four strikeouts.
Yeah, he's gonna hit for average. It's perfectly fine to drop Derek Dietrich, buy or sell.
I buy. I mean, it depends on the depth of your league. Probably a sell in every roto league with the deep lineup, but a head-to-head league with the small lineup, sure, it's fine to do that.
Yeah, it's a buy unless you have a middle infield, corner infield, or five outfielders in your league.
Okay. He does continue to sit against lefties. The only time he didn't was when Joey Votto sat out. Speaking of which, buy or sell, it's perfectly fine to drop Joey Votto.
Sell.
Yeah, I buy it.
I go back and look at his pre-All-Star break numbers in 2015 and 16, and obviously they weren't anywhere near as bad as they are now, but what was interesting was that he did strike out quite a bit pre-All-Star break, especially 2016. He had more than a strikeout per game. And then in 2016, after the All-Star break, Joey Votto had .1158 OPS and 32 strikeouts in 72 games. He was the best hitter ever, basically.
He has one home run since April 26th.
Well, this is what I feel like a slumping Joey Votto is exactly what bench spots are for. You could drop him.
I don't know if anybody picks him up.
To drop him. Oh, somebody would pick him up.
I need to look at my Tim
team. What's his ownership right now?
I'm guessing it's still in the 90s. I'll check.
Yeah,
I mean,
obviously
in that,
it's higher in CPS than anywhere else.
In that Yahoo League, my only Yahoo League, it's a 10-team and it's a categories league.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see if anyone's picked him up.
He's 93% owned.
He is still a free agent, and he is 87% owned in that format.
And one thing I do, like I don't usually give probably enough thought to the daily lineup league, where you probably are incorporating your bench more than a weekly lineup league, which is mostly what I play in.
Mm-hmm.
And that would make it, you know, that's probably more of a Yahoo thing too, and might impact. I would guess his ownership is quite a bit lower than 90% in Yahoo League.
Yeah, to me, the biggest skill change for Joey Votto over the last two seasons, why he's not as good of a hitter anymore, is he is awful against lefties. He has two extra base hits and 60 at-bats against lefties this year. And last year, he wasn't quite as bad, but he slugged .376 against lefties. All right, buy or sell. Hunter Renfro and his 18 homers should be universally owned. He's 68% owned. Hunter Renfro, buy or sell?
Sell.
Yeah, that's a pretty easy sell. I mean, the one thing he's good at is something that's plentiful. It probably should be a little higher than 68. He's in my top 10 sleeper hitters for this upcoming week. Has 4 games at Colorado.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I mean, he's a good sleeper for this upcoming week, but universally owned is a very high standard.
That's Hunter Renfro. Buy or sell, it's time to buy Tommy La Stella. It's time to buy Tommy La Stella.
I mostly buy him. What's interesting is as he's started to pile up multi-hit games and get that BABIP back up where it needs to be, the fly ball rate has come back down to normal, but it's still like 36%. So I don't think it's prohibitive of power. I think he's like a more powerful version of Fletcher. David Fletcher, right, is the first name?
Yeah.
Who has proven to be a useful fantasy option himself, but like La Stella is kind of a more exciting version of that. That's kind of where I am with him.
I'm going to sell it.
But
I will say if he gets to 320 plate appearances, I'll buy it.
LeMahieu's the better comparison because LeMahieu's obviously more established in fantasy.
That's a good comparison. The guy never strikes out Tommy La Stella. He has 16 walks, 16 strikeouts this year. But his last 21 games, he's batting .330, slugging .420. So the power has gone. But also in that stretch, they've faced 8 lefties in 3 weeks. That's kind of a lot. And he's got 2 extra base hits all year against lefties. So, that we don't expect him to hit for power against lefties. But, worth noting the trend, because I didn't really notice it, but it's just been a lot of singles lately for La Stella. Okay, final buy or sell. Trey Mancini is a legit top 12 first baseman. And currently he's 11th in points, 9th in roto, batting .306 with 13 home runs. Buy or sell, Mancini, legit top 12 first baseman.
Sell, but if he plays every game the rest of the way, he might finish there.
Yeah, like there are more exciting options that push him down. But talked about La Stella's fly ball rate normalizing. Mancini still hasn't. So I do think he's better than in years past. He's not going to regress to that version.
All right. More from yesterday, and then we'll finish off with hopefully some emails, the rest of the two-star pitchers, and some weekend streamers. Mike Moustakas is the number 2 second baseman in fantasy. Buy, sell, or hold Mike Moustakas?
Buy.
I don't think he's really the second best second baseman in fantasy when all's said and done, but I don't really feel like he's going to go, he's performing that much over his head. I'd probably just be happy with him and hold.
I think he's got like a legit shot at 45 home runs.
Yeah, he does.
He's got 18 so far, Mike Moustakas. Rotation. Anything interesting to say about Jose Berríos? 6 innings, 2 runs, 1 earned, 6 strikeouts at Cleveland. Zach Wheeler, mostly a good start, 3 runs, 2 homers in 7 innings. He's been better than his ERA. I think people know that, though. J-Hap, his ERA, by the way, Wheeler's ERA is .461. J-Hap, maybe turning things around. 3, solid starts in a row. Jose Quintana, I don't think I'm going to start him next week at Colorado and at the Dodgers. But, he's been fine. He's actually been kind of meh lately, Quintana. Chris Archer had a really good start, though, against the Braves. And from the video, it looked like he was throwing a little harder. I don't know if you guys know anything about Archer's velocity from yesterday, but watched the highlights and saw some 95s in there look good. I think we should start with him, actually. Probably the most interesting guy on the list. I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to fight. But Chris Archer, great, good start
yesterday. It's just nice. Yeah, it's nice to see him get back to the pitcher he's been for the last 5 years. Just a very good, reliable.
Why did I say I wasn't going to talk? Now I can't respond to that. Yeah. No,
He has made a change his past 2 starts where, at least according to the narrative, I'm not really sure how to check to see if the numbers back up what they're saying, but apparently he's been emphasizing his fastball a lot more early in games. so that the slider is more effective later in games. And so far, that strategy seems to be paying off for him. So, he's on the right track. He's a two-star pitcher next week, and I actually list him as must-start. Part of that's...
Really? Archer. Yeah. I'm sorry. I was looking at Quintana's matchup. Yeah. Sorry, I got confused.
Yeah.
All right, so then let's rank these guys. Berríos is obviously number one. I think Wheeler's number two, right?
Yeah.
I want to talk about Wheeler a little, if I can.
Yeah.
Because I think he's the poster child of kind of what's going on in how we evaluate starting pitchers as a whole. Kind of what I was saying about Sierra earlier, what I've been saying, was saying about Bauer, even what I was saying about Carrasco yesterday, is I'm not sure if in today's environment, ERA is the greatest indicator of what makes a good starting pitcher. Because you look at Wheeler's past 10 starts, 8 of his past 10 starts have been 7 or more innings with 3 earned runs or fewer. 8 of 10, great strikeout rate. I mean, that's a really good run, right? Like, none of those starts you're looking at and saying, wow, that's a disappointing start from Zach Wheeler. They're all ones you'd want to have in your lineup. 7 innings or more, 3 earned runs or less. His ERA during that stretch is just over 4. And if you take the one really bad start out of that 10-start stretch, it's just under 3. So, like, I think, like, obviously that's probably hurting a roto team's ERA, a high 3s ERA. But except all but a select few starting pitchers, I think you just kind of have to expect a starting pitcher is going to hurt your ERA, and it's worth putting up with to help you in wins and strikeouts. You can't really compete in those categories if you don't have enough starting pitchers in your lineup. But like, there are very few starting pitchers that you can reasonably expect to help your team's ERA.
Well, and Wheeler is a guy that, like, because what we were talking about earlier was with Sierra and how that's elevated, but he's also a pitcher. A couple things. One, he's mostly just been bad against the Nats, and he's been an ace against everyone else. Two, his FIP, XFIP, Sierra are all below 4 and well above average, and all suggest that the ERA is just a little bit unlucky. So
High threes, right? It's high 3. It's still called
threes. Mid to high 3s, and I think he's probably a mid to high 3s ERA pitcher, which is fine.
Yeah, if you get a lot of strikeouts out of it, sure. He's got more.
Well, I think we probably just have to, unless you're a guy that only pitches 5 innings a start, if your ERA is 3.75 or better, you're good.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Hopefully the whip is good too. 1.23 whip for Wheeler, but I imagine it's probably better than that in his recent stretch. All right. I'm going to have to skip some of the other stuff here. Josh Hader got his 14th save. He has 14 of the Brewers' 18 saves. Jordan Hicks got back on track with a save. Matt Barnes got a save. That was his first save in a month. And the Red Sox have recorded 4 saves in between Barnes' last save. So let's go through the two-star pitcher list and see what we're thinking here. I am going to save time for emails, so be prepared. All right. Chris Sale, Charlie Morton, Hyunjin Ryu, Trevor Bauer, we're going to start, right? Cincinnati and at Detroit?
Yep.
All right, how about Herman Marquez, home starts against the Cubs and the Padres?
I call him a start, yeah, even though it's 2 home starts.
Okay. James Paxton, Mets and White Sox. Mets at home, White Sox on the road.
Yes, for me.
Yeah, I'm starting him in points. I'm a little worried in Roto.
Chris Paddock at San Francisco and at Colorado.
I don't want to.
Yeah, I'd start him.
I'm happy that I own Chris Paddock in a daily league because I will definitely start him at San Francisco.
You know what? I don't think he's actually going to make 2 starts.
I thought he was starting on Sunday.
I think that's going to be Cal Quantrill instead. So,
okay. All right. Then.
I don't want to start either of them. So we can just rule them both.
But I want to start Paddock if his next start is at San Francisco.
Just 1 start at San Francisco? Oh, yeah. Probably, yeah.
I don't think it is. I think you're right that he's starting this weekend.
Okay, so then let's just play the Chris Paddock game. That would be Washington at home.
I probably would start him.
Yeah, I think I would too. All right. Jose Quintana, for me, it's an avoid, guys, at Colorado and at the Dodgers.
Avoid.
He is not in the must-start section, but he is in the next section where, you know, it's a toss-up.
What about Fultonevich and Griffin Canning? Fultonevich has Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. Canning has the Dodgers and at the Rays.
I'm good with Fultonevich. I think Canning, and I've been wrong
Canning
about
was supposed to be this week.
Yeah, I don't have Canning as a two-star pitcher for this upcoming week.
Okay. All right.
I do not want to start Fultonevich. No.
You don't want to start Fultonevich. Okay. Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. Okay. Interesting. All right. Scott says yes. Heath says no. Lance Lynn at Boston and at Cincinnati.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty easy call. No, you know what? He's not a two-star pitcher either.
Really?
I don't think we have the same lists.
Yeah.
No, well, a lot of the guys are. Like, I have the Turnbull, Dakota Hudson, Anibal Sanchez, but I also have Martin Perez, who, even though he's got good matchups, I'm dropping, not just sitting. I'm dropping Martin Perez. Got Chris Archer on there at Atlanta and at Miami. No way am I starting Yu Darvish at Colorado and at the Dodgers. Joe Musgrove might be a tough call at Atlanta and at Miami.
Yes. Yes. I agree he is a two-star pitcher, and it is a tough call, but one I'd probably roll with him.
I don't really want to start him, but I think I would rather start him than Fultonevich.
All right, so then we got the waiver wire guys. Spencer Turnbull, Dakota Hudson, John Means, Jared Eichhoff, Kevin Gausman, Anibal Sanchez, Jake Junis, Mike Leake, Sandy Alcantara. Ariel Jurado actually been pitching pretty well. He's at Boston and at Cincinnati. Texas starting pitcher John Duplantier. And other guys you're not going to start. So this is just a rehash of what we said earlier. Spencer Turnbull would be Scott's favorite. I think Dakota Hudson in a points league could work for you. I'm interested in Anibal Sanchez. Scott likes John Duplantier and Cal Quantrill, who's not listed here. Heath likes nobody.
I would. Anibal is my favorite, and Eichhoff would be my second favorite.
Okay. All right. Then let me read your emails. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. This comes from Jack. Hey, Adrian, Elvis, and Joey. Those are Rangers.
Ranger.
Delino DeShields has been awesome since he's been recalled. Do you think Delino DeShields is worthy of a speculative ad in a 10-team head-to-head categories league with three outfielders? Would you drop David Fletcher for DeShields?
I would not.
Yeah, I was a strong no on that question until it got to would you drop David Fletcher for DeShields? And I do think in a 10-team head-to-head categories league, I might.
Okay.
I don't think I probably would have been rostering Fletcher in a 10-team head-to-head categories league. But in that format, I think I might rather have DeShields.
From Joel, hey, Nick, Schmidt, and Winston. Scott and I know that. Heath, who are Nick Schmidt and Winston?
New Girl.
Hey!
Yeah.
How'd you know that?
I've never watched that show. I only know because of you guys.
Oh.
They could have gone Nick Winston and Winston. Spoiler alert.
Nick Winston and Winston?
Schmidt's first name turns out to be Winston.
Really?
Yeah.
We never knew his first name the entire time.
Thanks for ruining the show for me, Scott. Now I'll never watch it.
I threw my pen. 10-team points league. Why aren't we more concerned about Blake Snell's production? He's 39th in points behind Peacock, John Gray, Zach Davies. How is he going to turn his season around and end up a top five starting pitcher? I feel Snell is a Snell high. I
didn't
Snell
give
high,
a good enough explanation of this, and it can't be a Snell high because he's pitching worse than he was, so it would be a Snell low, and I never want a Snell low. But I didn't give a good enough explanation of this earlier in the week, so I'm glad he brought it up as to why I'm not concerned with Blake Snell. He had a not very good start, his first start of the year against the Astros. Then he was awesome. Then he got hurt, missed a start, and had a couple of bad outings against the Royals where he couldn't even go four innings while he was still hurt. Then he was awesome. Then he had one bad outing. I think it's very easy to explain why he's so low in a points league, and I still think he's going to be a top five starting pitcher the rest of the way.
I don't know about top five at six innings per start. That's my only concern. I think he's going to be great. It just he especially in a point.
Was he top five last year? Because he
got
the
hurt.
Same kind of situation with the innings.
No, not at first. That's the thing. He didn't have that at first, and then he got hurt. Then he had a shoulder issue or elbow. I think it was shoulder. Not a huge issue, but he went on the IL or DL back then. Came back, and since coming back from the brief IL stint, very conservative with Blake Snell's innings.
I will just say I'm relatively certain, and I'm not doing the math right now, but I'm relatively certain if you take out those two Royal starts when he was hurt, he's averaging more than six innings per start.
But he's not averaging seven. How many times has he gone seven? Once all year? I honestly don't know, but I think it's been
that.
Can
we get a list of the number of pitchers averaging? I don't think there's five starting pitchers averaging seven innings per start.
I just...
Averaging? No way. Yeah. That would be a really high average.
I don't know if there's one.
He doesn't pitch deep into games. That's my point.
But if you average more than six innings per start, you're pitching deep enough into games.
I don't know that he's averaging more than six innings per start.
He is if you take out the Royals start, because those were six innings for two starts combined.
You sure?
I'm going to do the math now.
Okay.
You don't have time for this.
I think you're wrong. Scott, let's fly through some grade the trades from Carl, Points League. Give up Paddock, Austin Riley, and Carpenter. Paddock, Austin Riley, and Matt Carpenter. Get Vlad Jr. and Noah Syndergaard.
He is averaging exactly six innings per start.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't realize.
Out the Royal start.
We went way over time, and I am sorry. We have to go. He's at exactly six innings?
Exactly.
All right, I'm gonna
60
give
and
this,
10 starts.
I'm going to give this grade a B-.
A.
Okay, an A? Great. Thank you very much. I'm sorry to the video crew for going over, as they have to get ready for the Cannell and Bell podcast. And we'll talk to you next week. Have a great weekend. We're on CBS Sports HQ Sunday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Check it out. Until then, I'm Adam. He's Scott. He's Heath. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye.